Yeah. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Iskan Svandracharya Srila Prabhupada Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Sri Sri Nitai Sachi Sutta Sankirtan Yagya Go Premanande. All glorious to the Sama devotees. All glorious to the Sama devotees. All glorious to the Sama devotees. All glorious to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glorious to Sri Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So tonight, very auspicious because all the devotees are together and nice transcendental atmosphere. And also, it is the birthday of our little devotee, Gopika. And that's also very nice. In the Bhagavatam, we're going to read a verse from the, or some few verses actually, from the 9th canto. I was going to read from the 8th, but I'll read from the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. 4th chapter. Beginning with about verse 60 or thereabouts. This is the chapter entitled Ambarish Maharaj Offended by Durvasa Muni. Yes, so now a little bit of background here. Ambarish Maharaj was great king in Vedic times and very great devotee king. One time he was observing a special Ekadasi Vrata. We also observe Ekadasi Vratas, but this was some very extraordinary Ekadasi vow. Yes, there are Ekadasi vows on different levels. Probably you've heard us explain before that Jiva Goswami in Bhakti Sandhava, he talks about a high level of Ekadasi Vrata. Ekadasi, for those of you may not be so familiar, Ekadasi means the 11th day of the moon. Moon is rising to full moon, going down to no moon, or then there's new moon. So the 11th day going towards full, just shortly before it's full, because it takes 2 weeks to become full. Then the 11th day before there is no moon or new moon, that's Ekadasi. Ekadash in Sanskrit means 11. So, on that day, we don't eat grains, and there's certain special considerations for the devotees. So, Jiva Goswami, he says that a very good level of ekadasi is that the night before the actual ekadasi day, like our next ekadasi is, I believe, Saturday, is it? Saturday. So it would mean that on the Friday night, one would stay up all night chanting. Then the next, on the ekadasi day itself, one would continue chanting and fasting completely. Then the night at the end of the ekadasi day, one would stay up all night and chant. The next day, one would continue chanting. In the morning, have a little fruit. And in the midday, lunchtime, one would have some sort of meal. And then that night, one would take rest. This is very elevated form of ekadasi vrata. We don't really recommend that for this current day and age. So Maharaj Ambarish, he observed some very special ekadasi vow with very, you know, great austerity. He didn't eat anything. He didn't eat anything. He didn't drink anything also for some time. And this in fact was to create an auspicious atmosphere in his kingdom for the subjects, people in general. So it was a very benevolent act of his. It was very, very nice. So the time was coming. Those of you who are a little familiar with these things would know that the day after the ekadasi, generally, there is a certain period of time, ekadasi parana, something like that it's called. So it may be, usually it's something like from 6 o'clock to 9 or 10, or something like that, 7 to 10, some 3 hours or so. And that is meant to be the right time to break the fast in order to complete the fast and sort of round it off nicely, something like that. So, Maharaj Ambarish, he was to complete his ekadasi by breaking the fast, by eating something at that critical time, which would have made everything complete. And if it had been before or after that time, it wouldn't have really been complete. And those important benefits for the people in general would not really have been there. It would have been, you know, anyway, it would have been incomplete, put it that way, not really a success. So he was preparing, right at the most auspicious time, he was going to break his fast. And then one rather touchy sage, he was a little rather extraordinary character, Durvasa Muni, came on the scene. He is a sage, means he is very interested, he's very knowledgeable about the Vedic scriptures and how to perform different ceremonies and rituals and so on for different types of benefits. Not so much Krishna conscious. Not so much, but a little bit more on the material side or liberation side, personal salvation side. Not so much on the truly God-conscious side. And he is a little touchy. He is known for cursing people. So anyway, Maharaj Ambarish was there preparing to break his fast. Devasa Muni came, just walked in, and it is the Vedic etiquette that if some sage, some person like Devasa Muni, saintly person, comes to the house, then of course you must receive him very nicely. and give him your full attention and look after him very nicely and accommodate him and offer him something to eat and drink and nice place to sit and just basically really look after him very nicely. That's very important. So Devasa Muni came and he said, oh, Maharaj Ambarish said, would you like something to eat? He said, yes. Devasa Muni said, yes, yes. Oh, I need something to eat. Thank you. But I will just go take bath. So I'll be back after a while. Then I'll have something to eat. So it is the etiquette that when you are the host, you do not eat before your guest. Because then it's sort of like he is then eating your leftovers. Not remnants, not in that sort of sacred sense, but leftovers in the sense of what you couldn't be bothered with, or something like that. So Maharaj Ambarish knew he couldn't eat. And he knew how touchy Devasa Muni was, so he thought, must be very careful here. But that crucial time was just coming, and very shortly it would be over, and his whole great effort for the benefit of the people would be sort of wasted to some degree. So he asked the Brahmins and other devotees there, what should I do? So they suggested, you drink some water. And technically you will have broken the fast, but you will not have actually eaten. So you'll accommodate both considerations, your fast and looking after Devasa Muni in the proper way. So Maharaj Ambarish, he drank some water. A little later, Devasa came back, and by his mystical powers, he understood Maharaj Ambarish has taken something. He has taken something. So he got very angry. As we said, he's very touchy. And he said, you know, he thought about it and said, you know, for an offense like this against me, this is so bad that he must die. This is what you call being a little touchy. A slightly inflated kind of perspective on oneself. So he took one hair from his head, and because he was a great mystic, he threw down that hair, and one sort of mystical demon appeared out of that hair, and then came to attack Maharaj Ambarish to kill him. So Maharaj Ambarish, it's described here in the Bhagavatam, in Nectar of Devotion, when he saw, here comes this demon, it looks like I may die right here and now. So he immediately fixed his mind on Krishna and just took shelter of Krishna. He didn't get upset and start pleading or trying to defend himself or anything like that. He just took shelter of Krishna. Then Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra came to attack this mystical, oh, and killed that mystical demon, actually, and then attacked Devasa Muni. So Devasa Muni had to run and fly, literally, to try to escape. So there's a great chase between Devasa Muni trying to escape and this Sudarshan Chakra of the Supreme Lord, blazing, powerful weapon. Oh, something most extraordinary. Chasing him, and he was going here and there. He approached the different demigods and appealed to them. Can you protect me? They said, no, nothing we can do. Even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. Nothing we can do. So they said, why don't you go see Lord Narayan? It's his weapon. So Devasamuni, he went to Vaikuntha, to the spiritual world, and he approached Lord Narayan, who had sent that chakra. And he threw himself at the feet of the Lord and begged the Lord, please withdraw your weapon. I'm so sorry. I'll be very nice from now on. And I'll change my ways. Like that. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead basically told him, sorry. Sorry. Can't do it. You have offended my devotee. And I am so tightly bound to my devotee that in a situation like this, I have to protect my devotee. And now the situation is in the hands of my devotee. I cannot do anything unless my devotee approves of it in this situation. So you have to go back to Maharaj Ambarish. Yes. So in this way, Lord Narayan expressed his deeply felt feelings of attachment and even to the point of dependence upon his devotee. The relationship is so deep, so profound, and so tight in a mood of transcendental love. So we will now read, having given that little background, read some of these verses here where Lord Narayan tells Devasamuni that my devotees mean so much to me that I am practically in their hands. So first of all, Devasa says, O my Lord, O Supreme Controller, without knowledge of your unlimited prowess, I have offended your most dear devotee. Very kindly save me from the reaction of this offense. You can do everything, for even if a person is fit for going to hell, you can deliver him simply by awakening within his heart the holy name of your lordship. So that sounds... there's some nice things there. But Lord Narayan does not say, fine, I will now. You just chant my holy name, it will be fine. No. Sri Bhagavan Vacha. Aham Bhakta Paradi No. Yasvatantra Ivadi Ja. Sadhu bir grasta hridayo, bhaktair bhakta janapriya. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said to Devasamuni, I am completely under the control of my devotees. Indeed, I am not at all independent, because my devotees are completely devoid of material desires. I sit only within the cause of their hearts. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. Naham atmanam asha se madbhaktai sadubir vina shriyam chat yanti kim raman yesham gatir aham kana. O best of the Brahmins, without saintly persons, for whom I am the only destination, I do not desire to enjoy my transcendental bliss and my supreme opulences. Ye dara gara putrakta, pranan vitam imam param. Hitva mam sharanam yata, katam tams tyaktum utsahe. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next? How can I give up such devotees at any time? Mayi nirbada hridaya sarva samadarshana vashe kurvanti mam bhaktya satstriya satpatindata. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by service, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart bring me under their full control. You hear that, ladies? Mataji? He doesn't say that as chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control, or, shall we say, that he doesn't say that my devotees bring me under their full control by nagging me. Of course, for a good cause. Matsevaya putitamte salokyadi chatushtaya nechanti sevaya purna kutonyat kalavipratam. My devotees, who are always satisfied to be engaged in my loving service, are not interested even in the four principles of liberation, salokya, sarupya, samipya, and sarshti. That means to live on the same planet as the Lord, have a body like the Lord, have opulence like the Lord, or to always be in the company of the Lord. Although these are automatically achieved by their service. What then is to be said of such perishable happiness as elevation to the higher planetary system? And now this is a very nice verse. This is one of my favorite verses. Sadhavo ridayam mayam sadunam ridayam tvaham madanyat te najanam ti naham tebyo managati. The pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I'm always in the heart of the pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything else but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. O Brahman, let me now advise you for your own protection. Please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. Therefore you should go to him immediately, without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus, it is the subject, not the object, who is harmed. Just see how important that is. Om Jnana Panyandasya Jnananjana Shunakaya Chakshuramilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guru Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Svapicham Yena Mutale Svayam Rupa Tadamaya Antipati Svapantikam Panchakalpa Kuruvyas Jai Kribasun Yuvyeva Chak Haditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasti Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Jiva Goswami makes the point, actually it's also in Bhakti Sandhava, that he is more of developing love of God than trying to develop love of God. Yes. So, indirectly or directly, whatever, in all ways, in these verses, I think the point comes out. The devotees are very dear to the Lord. We may not appreciate, we may not understand. Certainly, of course, the pure devotees, most advanced, exalted, saintly persons, fully surrendered at the lotus feet of the Lord, they are especially dear to the Lord. But we shouldn't underestimate all devotees are dear to the Lord. You know, there's that story in Ramayana, won't go into all the details of it, but I think we've told that before, how Vibhishan came flying over as Lord Ram was about to cross to Lanka. Then Vibhishan came flying over from Lanka. He's the brother, one of the brothers of Ravan. And that family, they're such big, big demons. So there was some controversy. Should we just kill him or not? He's a demon. Who knows what nonsense he may be up to, coming here to trick us or something. So one of the monkeys was suggesting that the only good demon is a dead demon. So let me just kill him, then we won't have to worry if he's doing something clever or if we can actually trust him or what. Just let me kill him. Lord Ram is saying, no. He's just one man. Let us hear what he has to say. So Vibhishan came and threw himself at the lotus feet of Lord Ram and said, "My Lord, from this day on, I am yours." And that particular monkey said, "My Lord, don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. He's a demon." And Lord Ram said, "Well, no." He said, "Even if Ravan himself came and surrendered to me like this, I would immediately accept him." And then he said, and that verse is quoted in Nectar of Devotion by Srila Rupa Goswami himself. Lord Ram said that anyone who comes to me and says that my Lord, from this day on, I am yours, Lord Ram says, I'll never forget. Even if sometimes there's some ups and downs and, you know, some difficulty along the way, but Lord Ram says, I'll never forget him. So we shouldn't underestimate the Lord in this sense, in this context, that even if some devotee is not some important, special, prominent, or whatever devotee like that, you know, just even some new devotee or some quote-unquote ordinary devotee or something, you might say, like that. That actually, all the devotees are very dear to the Lord. Yes. There's a nice description. There are many nice descriptions, but in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is going to be published, I believe, any day, or very soon at least, by the BBT, translation and commentary by His Grace Gopi Puranadama Prabhu, and he's done wonderful job, amazing, very amazing. So there's a very nice passage there where one of the main characters, his name is Gopikumar, cowherd boy, Gopikumar, is gradually becoming elevated higher and higher. And on his way back to Godhead, on his way back to Goloka Vrindavan. But at a certain point, he goes to Vaikuntha. And there he sees Lord Narayan. Same Lord Narayan. And Lord Narayan tells him, oh, finally you have come. Finally. I've been waiting and waiting. He said, in each life I was just dancing. Maybe in this life you'll come. But then you didn't come. And then I thought, next life is now there. Maybe in this life. And he said, there I was, just dancing like a fool. Wondering, maybe in this life, maybe in this life, maybe in this life. But he says that then you were not really qualified. But still I wanted to bring you. Still I wanted to bring you. But I couldn't, because it would have been against the principles of religion. And he's very formal and concerned about all the sort of rules and regulations like that. So, but he said, I wanted to bring you. I was just going to come. I was just going to come and take you. Yes. But then I couldn't. So then I was just dancing. In other words, he was really in a state, in quite a state about this, about his devotee who was not really qualified. And there are many other passages when the devotee in Madhurya Kadambini, one devotee comes to the platform of love of God, then Krishna comes to him and the devotee in ecstasy collapses at the Lord's feet and is offering humble prayers, but the Lord picks him up and says, please don't speak like this, you're embarrassing me. It's me who owes you everything. You gave everything up to me. You gave everything up. So, what can I say? It's you, you're such a glorious person. I feel so fortunate to have your association. So, we shouldn't underestimate. Even Prabhupada, there's one class which Prabhupada gave, and he was talking about this, that don't underestimate the devotees. And he said, you don't know who may be sitting next to you. It may be Narada Muni. And the devotees. But the thing is that anyone who is sincerely serving the Lord, and of course anyone who's been doing so for some time, and like this, any sincere devotee, then we shouldn't underestimate that how dear that devotee may be to the Lord. Of course also we don't want to become sahajiya and become artificial, but it is a fact that the devotees are very dear to the Lord. Even the neophytes, and Lord Narayan implies this. In the very first verse or second verse that we read, that I'm completely under the control of my devotees. What to speak of my devotee? Even those who are devotees of my devotee are very dear to me. In other words, they may be neophytes, students. They're trying to learn and follow the process under the direction of someone who's a real devotee, I mean, pure devotee like that. But even those people who are just trying to become qualified under that qualified devotee, they are very dear to Krishna. So, like this, we should be careful in our dealings with devotees. We should never offend the devotees. We speak about this from time to time. And that's important, because we need to be reminded. Yes, we need to be reminded. Prabhupada said, repetition is the mother of remembrance. Yes. So, from time to time, we need to be reminded about everything, actually. Yes, so... let's be a little reminded here. Today is the birthday of Srimati Gopika. And she's just a 3-year-old little child. But she's a devotee. That's very nice. That's very nice. And all devotees. Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he talks in Harinam Chintamani about how we can avoid offenses, different things we can do, different attitudes we should have, and the dangers of offending and so on. So, he says that one of the best methods, and very like natural and beautiful method, for avoiding offenses to devotees is that instead of just sitting around thinking, oh, I must not offend Sudesh, and then I must not offend Sri Vrindavan, and I must not offend Vrindavan, and in this way being very careful, you know, monitoring myself to avoid negative activities. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur says very nice way to avoid offending the devotees is to always glorify the devotees. Instead of just being on guard in the negative sense, don't do this, don't do that, but be enthusiastic in the positive sense to serve the devotees and appreciate their good qualities and glorify them for their good qualities and everything like that. So this is something very nice also. So this Devasa Muni, as we said, he is a bit of an sort of an eccentric, like a Vedic eccentric, something like that. And I suppose I told you before, I must have told you, about how he went to Vrindavan. I told you that story. I didn't tell you the story. Anyway, I'll tell the story again briefly. Devasa Muni, he's eccentric and, or touchy at least, say. He went to Vrindavan one time and it was hot. He became hungry and thirsty. He saw the gopis. He didn't know they were the gopis or where he was even, but he thought, here are these young girls. Maybe they can help me. So he asked, young ladies, could you get me something to eat and something to drink? Something to eat particularly. So, the gopis told Devasa Muni that, no problem, just give us half an hour. We'll run home and get so many nice things. You can have a feast. And they knew this is Devasa Muni. But Devasa Muni said, well, actually, no, I need something now. Not in half an hour. So, what to do? They didn't know what to do. So Srimati Radharani, she had some Yamuna water. She picked up some dust from the ground, mixed some Yamuna water in it, and then formed those little mud, all that mud into little mud biscuits. And then said to Devasa, here, try one. So Devasa looked at the mud biscuit and he thought, she's not serious. But the gopis said, no, try it. She's very good. Just try it. So Devasa immediately took one. So hungry, took one little nibble, and it tasted like nectar. Wow. Oh, amazing. Couldn't believe it. Is this possible or what's happening? So he then took a bite, and then he ate the whole thing, and then he said, could I have some more? And so he ate many, one after the other, more and more mud cookies, till he was totally satisfied and more just completely ecstatic. And then he gave Radharani, because he's very easily angered and very easily pleased. This is a characteristic of a person who is not so much in the mode of goodness. Kind of, you know, goes off the edge easily one way or the other. Easily angered, but easily pleased. Not so sattvic, not so transcendental. So he blessed her, that, my dear young lady, you have served me so nicely, so I bless you, that whatever you cook will taste like nectar, and whoever eats what you cook will never become sick. So then the word got out, and Mother Yashoda heard about this. Everyone heard about this. And Mother Yashoda heard about this. And so she arranged, because she's the queen, she arranged that Radharani would come every day to cook for Krishna, so that he would get nectarian food and he would never get sick. So anyway, Devasa Muni, he's like that. He goes around, he curses sort of at the drop of a hat or something like that. But don't become Devasa Munis. Don't become touchy devotees, okay? You try to be, you know, very nice and tolerant if there's some nonsense going on against you, which will happen sometimes. And you try to be very tolerant devotees. And, yes, try to appreciate the devotees. As Srila Prabhupada said many times, the fly goes for the dirty place or the sore or the, you know, some sort of rotten, decaying thing. Just like we saw it there on the altar. There was one flower, it was sort of, you know, something was wrong with it. It was old or diseased or something. And all these ants were there. I mean, there were about 10 ants or so were just running around into the flower. But the other, so many other nice flowers, healthy flowers, they were not interested. Not one ant. But this flower, which must have been going a little rotten or something, was wrong. Ah, they were enthusiastic. Just like, not so much now, but I remember in the old days when I first went to India, Mayapur, 1976, no 7-Up, no Limca even, no Bisleri, no one hand pump, that's all. You take the water and you hope for the best. Yes, I remember. And the mosquitoes, they came. Big size in those days. Now it's Kali Yuga, I think they've got smaller. Yeah, big mosquitoes, and it's very aggressive. And they bit you one time, and it came out as a blister. Oh, yes, every time. And the top would come off the blister, then there's a small, but little round wound. And then it would take a while to heal, and, you know, not very nice. So the flies would come. And you, you know, one fly would come, so you fan it away. Goes away. Back. 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 Then after a while, many people, they just give up. Just give up. Oh, yes. And the flies, you know. Anyway, I won't go into the details, but they're very aggressive. And very capable. So we don't want to be like that. The flies, they go for the dirty places. They're attractive. They love it. They get a taste. But the bees, honeybees, oh, they like something nice and sweet. Some very fragrant and rich, nice honey. Oh, they love it. They love it. So Prabhupada said that we should be like the honeybees. And oh, if one wants to find some fault, you can find something which will at least look like a fault anywhere. No problem. Prabhupada one time gave one program in Paris. And some communists, young communist students came along. And they created such an uproar. Just like so aggressive and nasty that Prabhupada had to go. And the whole program just was called off. So afterwards, the devotee, and they were actually directly attacking Prabhupada. Who do you think you are? And all that sort of thing. In all sorts of nasty, nasty ways. So afterwards, the devotees, they went back to the temple with Prabhupada. And some devotees are saying, oh, Prabhupada, how? These people, they have such demons. How could they do it? You're such a great devotee. You're so nice. How could they do it? Prabhupada said that that's not surprising. When Krishna was here, they criticized him. So why not me? So if you want to find a fault, then even someone who's expert will find many faults even where there are none. Yeah. Some things that look like faults. And yeah, it's like that. Yes, Prabhupada even said we shouldn't expect utopia in that sense. Like in Goloka Vrindavan, there are many arguments. It's not that everyone goes around just saying, you know, very nice, everything's very nice. No, sometimes the gopis tell Krishna, you nonsense, you get out of here. Because it's all very transcendental, we shouldn't mistake that fact. But Prabhupada, there's one letter. He's telling one devotee, don't expect a utopia. People have their feelings. They may disagree on some point of Krishna consciousness. And it may not be just so easy to say that one is just wrong and the other is just right. You know, oftentimes it's like that. There may be many considerations and there may be different ways of doing the same thing. So Prabhupada said, don't expect a utopia and everything will just be the way you want it. Prabhupada said, even one time in Vrindavan, Radharani was coming and Krishna saw, here comes Radharani. Normally I get a little sort of dizzy when she comes by, but today I will play it cool. But Prabhupada didn't exactly say that. That was the idea. Today I will not be affected. I will be nonchalant. Nothing is happening, it's just business as usual. Milking the cows as usual. So Radharani walked past, and Prabhupada, of course he didn't go into all this detail, but Prabhupada said in the letter that Radharani was walking past, there's Krishna, nothing is happening, it's just another day. So what? Radharani saw, oh, there's Krishna. And then she saw, oh, he's milking a bull. So Prabhupada said, yes, Don't expect a utopia. It's just like clockwork. Everything is just sort of nice, nice, nice. Of course, it is very nice. It's even nicer than nice. But it's very personal, and all sorts of things are there and interactions. Yes. So, we should try to appreciate the devotees like the bees. And if we see any sort of flyishness coming, oh, we should be careful about that. We should be careful. And if we actually get into some state of mind, these devotees, this devotee, that devotee, some devotee, I don't like them. Something is wrong. Of course, sometimes if some devotee actually does something very bad, then to feel dissatisfaction is also natural. But otherwise, as Lord Narayan says, please hear from me. By offending Maharaj Ambarish, you have acted with self-envy. In effect, it's not exactly that you are thinking, let me hurt myself, let me hit myself, something like that. That is directly self-envy. But effectively, it is self-envy. Because you're only doing something which will only come back on you, that's all. That's all. So you're only acting with self-envy, really. Although it is, in that indirect sense. Therefore, you should go to him immediately without a moment's delay. One's so-called prowess. But yes, look at me. I've been a devotee for all of 5 years. So I have a bit of spiritual shakti there. One so-called prowess, when employed against the devotee, certainly harms he who employs it. Thus it is the subject and not the object who is harmed. It is I, not he, who is harmed. Yes. So let us try to do like this. And it's very amazing how the Supreme Lord is expressing himself here. It's very, very deep. Very deep and very meaningful. So let us try to appreciate the devotees and serve the devotees and help the devotees. And particularly, let us do that, and also let us be careful not to get in the way of the devotees and mess around with the devotees. As chaste women bring their gentle husbands under control by servants, the pure devotees who are equal to everyone and completely attached to me in the core of the heart, bring me under their full control. Yes. So let us try and appreciate in these terms. And this will help us. This will help us in terms of developing Vaishnava character. It's one thing to work hard and do this and do that and do so many things for Krishna. But it's another thing to actually become saintly. That's another thing. I mean, not that they're independent things. If you're a lazy fellow, Prabhupada said that this movement is no place for lazies or crazies. So if you're some lazy fellow and you're not willing to work for Krishna, that's also not good. But if we just work hard and we don't care how we act and interact and what our attitudes are to the devotees and how we deal with them, Yeah. Then that's not very good. That's not very good. So let us try like this, to serve the devotees and appreciate the devotees and glorify the devotees. And then we'll feel, we will be so safe and secure, surrounded by so many wonderful people. Naturally, if we serve the devotees, they'll become kindly disposed towards us.